You know, it is often said that when people stand together, they are stronger. And while this is true in many cases, there's something to be said about individual strength. You know, throughout the history of man, we see that there were individuals that stood up and became leaders. Something about them, about their character, caused others to want to follow them. You know, whether it was what they said, their attributes, their character, whatever it ended up being, these people became leaders. And history is rich with these types of individuals. You could even say that Mr. Trump, in a way, is a type of leader, right? Of course he is now. But even the Bible is strewn with these types of individuals. But not everyone is a leader. Not everyone has the force of character, the drive, and the will to be a leader. You know, sometimes we follow leaders and we are responsible towards them. But we are also responsible for our own selves. We read in the Bible that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So what happens when our individual strength is not enough? What happens when we fail? What is our response in these types of situations? I want to go through today and look at a couple points. And the first point that I have is that we are the weak ones. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1 and beginning in verse 26. We'll read to verse 31. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And these things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Our own abilities, even if we are banded together, they are pitiful if we are not focused on Christ. Now think about these verses for a moment. Do we fully comprehend that we are the ones, according to this world, that are in no way the greatest? We're not going to be the ones in charge of this world. You know, in the 11th chapter of Romans, we read about those who were grafted into the church. That includes us. So let's look at Romans 11, and we'll begin in verse 20. Romans 11 and verse 20, it says, well said, because of unbelief they are broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. By faith. That's how we continue to stand. Continuing on in verse 21 and 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on whom those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. It was by the goodness of God that he chose to call us, to bring us into the body of Christ. But we, of course, have our continued part to play, as we just read. Continue on in verse 23. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. 24. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and you were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. You know, overly esteeming ourselves, as was pointed here, does no good for anyone. For you, for me, for anyone. Let's continue on in verse 29 here. We'll read to verse 36. Verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I knew I was going to mess that word up. Irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you they may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And we don't have to worry about being the weak ones, like we know that we are, because we have God on our side. Another point that I wanted to bring out was that the prayer, or the prayers of a righteous person, they avail much. Let's look at this in James 5 and verse 16. We'll read the bottom half of it. James 5 and verse 16, it says, "And pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Let's also correlate this with John 9 and verse 31. John 9 and verse 31, where it says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." The one who does God's will. And righteousness is defined by God throughout the entire Bible. And as much as we may want to try to force our own thoughts and actions into this category, the fact is that it is God who has laid out for us what is right and what is wrong. And we have to conform to that. You know, the more we do right, the more we will see God's laws and his way of life are actually meant for our betterment. You know, the more we work on these things, the more we will be able to draw towards these things. And the more our prayers will be useful to us and, of course, for others. But we have warnings. James 1 and verse 4 from the NIV says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed." We've all been down this road. We have all been led and dragged away at times by our own desires, enticed by them. But the outcome is no good. Because we read in verse 15 of James 1 and verse 4 that, or that should probably be verse 5, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. You know, it's easy to give in to our temptations because they do entice. They look shiny, they look pretty on the outside. But Satan has that ability to make the wrong ways look right for a time. But there's so much more at stake for us. You know, the Word of God helps us to discern. It helps us to understand, and it will help us to grow if we let it. Which is one of the important reasons why Bible study, along with prayer, is so important. Let's look at Hebrews 4 and beginning in verse 11. Hebrews 4 and verse 11 to 13. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Now, the Bible is not some ancient text that no longer holds any meaning for us. Rather, it's the very living Word of God. It's a book that is alive. It holds truth that this world can't even comprehend at this time. Let's continue on in verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, it's our duty and our responsibility to come before God. And it says when we do so, we can have faith. We can have bold faith that God wants to help us and indeed will do so. You know, by ourselves, brethren, we are nothing. But with God backing us up, we can overcome and we can accomplish the amazing goals that he has set before us, that he wants to set before us. Let's look at Psalm 16, and we'll read verses 1 to 11. I always love reading the Psalms because David showed over and over again these attributes, that he put his full faith and confidence and trust in God. So let's read Psalm 16 and beginning in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied, who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up the names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in a pleasant place. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Verse 10, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me in the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, David realized that even though he was the king of Israel, without God, his power, his might was nothing. And when we are feeling weak, when we are feeling downtrodden, when we realize that our power is nothing, that's when we can turn to God. When we can recognize and exalt the one who has the power and the strength to help us in all things. For the last scripture, if you'll turn to Philippians 2, and we'll read verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, God will work in us and through us if we are working on our salvation. Let's not be fooled by the passing pleasures of sin and of this world. Instead, in the last few precious moments that we have here, as our life is quickly fleeting, let's lean on God, having faith in his promises of help and salvation for us.